You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
See, John 10:10, we'll use that as a springboard. Even though this morning we're going to be on a Bible bus, we're going to hit a lot of different things because I want to wish you a Happy New Year. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Awesome. Yeah. I've entitled our message this morning, Life or Living, and you'll see what I mean as I go through this because we need to determine whether you are just if we are just simply life or if we are living, and that's an important question. You think, well, is there really a distinction? Well, there is, and you'll see as we go through this. But the new year is here, and we're about to flip the page of our calendar, or should I say replace our calendar. I like what Psalm 65:11 says. You crown the year with your goodness. Your path drips with abundance. Wow, think about that. If we will go and crown, okay, he crowns last year with his goodness. I pray that you can say that last year was crowned with God's goodness. But he says this, for this year, if we take his path, it will drip with abundance. Doesn't that sound good? When God's, now listen, God's abundance, I love this. It doesn't have to be a drip. It could be a fountain. It could be Niagara Falls of his abundance. It's totally up to us and where we go. Now, here's what happens. New Year comes. So many people make New Year's resolutions. Yes, thank you. Front row. Good morning. I like what Jonathan Edwards says. He says this. He makes two resolutions. Resolution one, I will live for God. Resolution two, if no one else does, I still will. I love that. I love that. He nails it on the head. Listen, it's each one of us has a resolution. I'm going to take it a little further. We're going to talk about a commitment more than a resolution. But each one of us, we stand alone. You know, we don't get saved by a whole family. It's like a turnstile. You go through one at a time. And so it's up to you to be resolved, to have that resolve in you that even if no one else seeks the Lord, even if no one else lives for God, you will. And that is so important. Now, he hit it on the head. He hit what on the head? He hit the solution to life, the solution. And it's not just a resolution, it is the solution. Now, you'd be asking, well, Pastor Randy, the solution to what? The solution to living, as opposed to just having life. And not just that, as you have your fingers in John 10:10, your bookmark, he says this in John 10:10 part B, he says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Abundant. If I were to ask, how many of you want this next year, 2019, to be abundant? How about drip with God's abundance? How about flow with God's abundance? Well, that's up to you. That is up to me. We can choose. Now, here's the thing. I've asked the question, life or living? Here's why. Life happens. Life does. Life happens whether we want it to happen or not. Life happens. In fact, for so many people in the world, life is simply and merely to exist. That's all life is. Look at the definition. The definition of life is an organism characterized by the capacity for metabolism, growth, reaction to stimuli, and reproduction. That's life? That you respond to stimuli? that you reproduce. Listen, for so many people, that's all life is. You clock in, you clock out. You get up, you go to sleep. You eat, you whatever happens after you eat, whatever. You know, it's just a process that we go through, and the process repeats itself day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year. But it doesn't have to be that way. That is, in fact, that's not even God's plan. But yet so many people exist within that, and they walk around numb. Oscar Wilde says this: to live is the rarest thing in the world. Most people exist, and that's all. Isn't that sad? And yet, so often, that's exactly what we do. Maybe you don't exist year to year, but maybe some weeks you just feel like you're just existing. You're just coasting. You're just floating. But living a life is a completely different story. And living a life and making the most of this adventure that God has given us is a completely different story. And what I'm hoping is that this morning, you and I can make a transition from life to living. And you'll see what I mean. Now, don't be confused. Listen, movement isn't progress. Just because you have a lot of movement doesn't mean you're making progress. Listen, you can get on a exercise when you're a treadmill and have a lot of movement and get nowhere. Right? Listen, activity doesn't equal life. Activity just means movement. There's a difference. See, people oftentimes, here's what they do. They look at the lifestyles of the rich and famous, and they say, oh, they're living the good life. Really? Really? Then why are so many of them depressed? Why are so many of them on nervous breakdowns and having difficulty coping with life? Like who? Britney Spears. Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey. Mel Gibson. Kanye West. Jim Carrey. Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga is at the peak of her career right now. Hit movie. And she comes out and she says she's on the verge of a nervous breakdown and she's ready to quit. And by the way, the list goes on and on and on. They have the looks, they have the riches, they have the fame, the big cars, the popularity, everything that most people, listen to me, everything that most people are striving for, they have. And they're depressed. Why? Well, they believed that once they had the golden ring, that everything was going to be different. And then they finally arrive and they get the golden ring and they realize, uh-oh, I'm still empty. You know, I have people come to me and they say, hey, Pastor Randy, there's this job. If I can get this job, everything's going to change. And then they get the job and they're happy. And then 6 months later, yeah, I'm looking for another job. What happened? This was the dream job. This is the one we prayed for. We're fickle. It's not fulfilling. It wasn't enough. I'm not satisfied. Listen, so many people are striving. Listen, here you go. Elvis Presley, king of rock and roll, right? By the way, did you know this? A couple of years ago, dead, he made more money than Justin Timberlake and Madonna, who are alive. That's pretty sad when a dead guy makes more than you do alive. But one of the last things that Elvis Presley ever wrote, he wrote this: I feel so alone sometimes. The night is quiet for me. I'd love to be able to sleep. I'm glad that everyone is gone now. I probably will not rest tonight. And then he says this: I have no need for all of this. Help me, Lord. Listen, there's a guy who started off in the gospel and then went far off the deep end. And then here, when he had everything at the peak, he had all that you could ever ask for. And he's like, I'm empty. And let's bring it to today. How about this? John Mayer, incredibly gifted guitarist, singer, songwriter. He wrote this song. These are his words. He says this. It's a song called Something's Missing. He says, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I wish I was, because then I'd know why I was down, because I couldn't find a friend around to love me like they do right now. He says, I wish I were alone. I wish nobody loved me, because then I could understand why I feel the way I do. But I've got all the love and all the people. And he says this, I'm dizzy from the shopping malls. I search for joy. I bought it all. It doesn't help the hunger pains and the thirst that I have. I have to drown first to ever satiate. Something's missing and I don't know how to fix it. Something's missing and I don't know what it is. And then he says, when autumn comes, it doesn't ask. It just finds, it just walks in. Excuse me. When autumn comes, it doesn't ask. It just walks in where it left you last. You never know when it starts until there's fog inside the glass around your summer heart. Something's missing. And I don't know how to fix it. Something's missing, and I don't know what it is. And then he says this, friends, check. Money, check. Slept well, check. Opposite sex, check. Guitar, check. Microphone, check. Message waiting on me when I come home, check. How come everything I think I need always comes with batteries? What do you think it all means? Here's what it means. It means that life is meaningless without Jesus Christ. And yet, folks, let's be honest. What do we all search for? The new car, the new job, the new relationship, the new position, the new whatever. C.S. Lewis said this. If we find ourselves with the desire that nothing in this world can satisfy it, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. Listen, if this world doesn't satisfy, and it doesn't, listen, all of these rich, famous people who have all the paparazzi, popularity, everything, the Golden Globe and this award and that award and all of that, and they are more depressed than we are. What does that tell you? Gain the world and you could still lose your life. Listen, when C.S. Lewis says the only explanation is we're not meant for this world, he's right. 1 Peter chapter 2 says we're sojourners. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims. We're on an adventure for the promised land. We're headed to heaven, not here. This is temporary. If this is temporary, why in the world are we hanging on to it as if this is all that matters? Listen, I want to encourage you. Do you have life? How are you living? Well, opposite. I think at this point, the best thing for us to do is to look at the opposite of the celebrities. Who would that be? Well, how about Paul? Why? Well, Paul wasn't poor and then become poor. No, no. Paul was rich. Paul was revered. He was popular. He had a reputation. He had respect. And he gave it all up to follow Jesus. He went the opposite direction. And what does he say? He says things like, hey, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He says this. Hey, I'm going to read to you something. He said, you know, Paul and Silas were thrown in jail. In stocks. They were in chains. And what did they do? They were singing praises to Jesus. They weren't depressed like these celebrities living in their limousines and their mansions and swimming pools and caviar. No, 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 no. He's in prison and he has joy. Why? Because he wasn't looking for the material. He was looking for the miracle of the Lord. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, he says, and keep your finger on John 10:10, because we're going to come back there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Yet indeed, I also count all things as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. So he lost everything. He says, no, no, I count it as loss, but for the excellence of the knowledge. Not I count it as loss so I can know Jesus. No, no, no. He understands to know Jesus is excellence. Watch this. For whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish. Actually, the word here in the Greek is dung, a big pile of poo-poo, okay, to put it nicely. He says, I suffer the loss of all things and count them as poo-poo, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. See, Paul gets it. Why does Paul get it? Because he got it. What did he get? He got the Lord Jesus Christ. And it changed everything. Listen, I don't know where you are. I know where I was prior to knowing Jesus Christ. I was hopeless. Listen, I was an entertainer and people wanted my autograph and wanted to hear me sing and all this junk. And yet I could be in a crowd surrounded by people taking my picture and I felt empty. I felt alone. Why? Because I didn't have it. Life happens. But living comes from the giver of life. See, all of us have life. I had life before I got saved, but I didn't begin to live until I got saved. I remember when I got saved, all of a sudden, everything smelled different. And the food tasted better. And everything was, I could see color even though I'm colorblind. It was so amazing. It's like air. It's like breathing. It was like I was born again. In fact, people ask me, where were you born? I'm like, I was born in Van Nuys, but I really consider Houston my home. Why? Because I was born again in Houston. Everything prior to Houston seems like a nightmare, a bad dream. And I wish, being a hardcore atheist, I wish I would have come to know Christ sooner and bypassed all the empty, lonely junk. Remember the Lord said, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And you go, well, there, Pastor Randy, Jesus says he's the life. He didn't say he's the living. No, you got to understand. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and life, that has multiple connotations. What do you mean? Well, here's what I mean. First of all, Jesus is the life. Why? He created all things. The life you have came from Jesus who created life. But then it goes further. What he's talking about when he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, he's talking about not life as in existing. He's talking about, no, I'm the way to begin living, to find purpose and meaning. He's the giver of, he's the creator of life. He's the giver of the resurrection. Prior to being saved, if you're here today, I'm sorry, I don't mean to upset you, but if you're here today and you're not saved, you're the walking dead. You're a walking dead. You have no idea what it means to be living. You're existing, and I'm sorry, it's sad. I was there, I know. Life is the basic element of created beings. That's what it is. Life, in its best form without Christ is empty. These are the richest people, most famous people, most popular people are depressed. Why? Because they have all that this physical life has to offer and they feel empty. Yet you can go with someone like Paul or some people over in third world countries that have Jesus Christ and they are the happiest people you've ever met. Why? Because he is the life with the potential for eternal bliss. You can't beat that. See, there is emptiness without Jesus. Hear me on this. Have you ever, I don't want the answer, because you may be even feeling this now. Have you ever felt alone in a crowd? You know, you're surrounded, people are laughing, people are happy, and you just feel alone and empty and you just feel drained. The Lord, Jesus Christ, should have felt that way. Remember, all his friends scattered. Everyone left him alone. And yet, he never felt that way. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he went to the cross. Why? He knew he had his Father. He knew he had the Holy Spirit. Have you felt hopeless? Like there's no way out? If anyone should have ever felt this way, Jesus should have. And yet, he didn't. Why? He knew what he was doing was going to lead to victory. For who? For whom? For us. For you. For me. For we. Have you ever felt, here you go. Have you ever felt like you're fighting a losing battle? Like you can't make any progress? The Lord should have felt that way, but he didn't. because he was fighting for us to be able to have fellowship with him, to give us a life and a life more abundantly. See, it was worth it to him. And that's why, by the way, that's why Jesus could say in Psalm 14:27, here's what he said. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Listen, if you don't have peace, it's not his fault. He wants to give it to you. He already said, I leave it to you. The problem is we don't pick it up. Why? Because our hands are too full of things. What things? The job, the car, the jet ski, the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the whatever it is. See, that's life. But Jesus Christ wants you to be living and not the vida loca. He wants you to live the life full and more abundantly. The Lord says this, "I have come to give you life." That doesn't mean happiness, and that doesn't mean earthly riches. You understand that. I cannot make that clear enough. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us life made new, life made right. Here you go. The Lord gives us a life not just forgiven, but forgiven as if your past never happened. Isn't that awesome? So often, people forgive me of things that I do. You know, my wife, my kids. But they don't forget it. That's not how God is. Listen, you may do something to me. I may not forget it. But you know what? The Lord Jesus, he goes, no. As far as the east is from the west, I remember your sin no more. Oh, wow, Lord. That's a lot of forgetting to do. But when you have the Lord Jesus, you know what happens? Satan can't steal from you anymore. Remember I told you to keep your finger on John 10:10? Turn back there. Let's look at this. Watch this. John 10:10, the whole verse now. "The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Listen, if you have it more abundantly, that means the thief ain't taking nothing. If you have life, then you can't be killed, can you? When you're with Christ, Satan can't steal your hope. He can't kill your spirit, and he can't destroy your identity. Isn't that interesting? Isn't there an epidemic right now of identity theft? Those are people stealing your identity. When you are in Christ, they can't steal that identity. No one can. Sometimes when people are gossiping about you or slandering you, they're trying to steal your identity. But when you're in Christ, they can't steal your identity. They can say all kinds of stuff about you, but it ain't true. You can have the assurance that you are identified with Christ. But people get this verse wrong. I just want to clarify something real quick, just so this verse isn't used wrongly in your heart. In religious context, some people get this wrong. Some people think that even after you become a Christian, that Satan is stealing from you, that he's always stealing from you. But he can't steal your identity. That's impossible. People go, oh, my car broke down. It must be the devil. No, it's GM. They want you to buy a new car. Don't blame the devil. Your car was not made to last. Isn't it interesting? You get a 5-year loan, and right around 5 years is when that thing breaks down, right? They know. They time it. That's what those test tracks are for. How many times till it breaks down? Oh, that worked too well. Let's kind of tweak it so it's not doesn't last as long. They're not stupid. How about this? I lost my job. It's the devil. No. Maybe business is slow, or maybe you're too slow. I got a horrible disease. No. You have a body that's temporary, that's a product of the fall. And we all have that. Doesn't mean that God can't heal you. He can. We believe in healing. Listen, what Jesus is talking here, Jesus is saying that Satan wants sheep, not Chevys. Okay? Don't get that confused. Let me prove it. Stay here, John 10, but let's go back to verse 1 and 2 in context with verse 10, and we'll look at verse 7 through 10. But look, 1 and 2, here's Jesus. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep." And then jump down to verse 7. "Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Not pastors, pasture to eat. In other words, you'll have that what? That abundant life. And he says this, verse 10, "The thief does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." He's talking about sheep. Listen, Satan's not about your car or your job or your health. Satan's about you. Now, by the way, people go, "Well, wait. Satan can attack you that way. Look at Job." Yes, he can. But understand, he can't do anything that God doesn't allow him. So if God allows Satan to attack me in some way, it's because God wants to strengthen his sheep so I can become Lambo. When you have the Lord Jesus Christ, your car may break down, but you don't. You might lose your job, but you don't lose your salvation. Your body may be diseased, but your heart is healed. See the difference? When you have Jesus Christ. That's why these rich people, these famous people without Christ are lost and empty. And someone like Paul, who had nothing, was beaten, was chained to a Praetorian guard 24 hours a day, who was in prison, who didn't know if tomorrow he was going to die, could sing praises in the night because he was full of God. He was full of Jesus Christ. He counted the excellence of knowing Christ. Is that your life? You're not living without Christ. You're just alive. You're the walking dead. But God loves you enough to send Jesus, and he wants to make you alive today. He wants you to choose to live that abundant life. You know, some people walk out of here and go, "I don't want that." And I thought of it. You know, if I had a bag with $1 million and there was an unsaved person, I said, "Here, I'll give you $1 million. They would run up here and grab it and probably cry and all this stuff. But I want to offer them, I want to offer you something greater than $1 million. It's like, maybe next week. I got some sinning to do." So do you have life? Are you living? Although we move into this new year and we take away the old calendar and we bring in the new, the love of God cannot be subtracted from. It cannot be taken away. That's one thing I love. God's love doesn't diminish. As you go through the years, you don't run out of pages with God. His love never ends. It only adds and increases. And by the way, it's not that his love increases. It's not that we're earning merit. No. We love him more and more. As you walk with him, you can't help but fall in love with him. His love should cause us to worship. And you go, "Okay, we were just singing a song. I was worshiping." No. That's a form of worship. But then there's obedience. That's worship. "Well, Pastor, maybe I don't have that one." Why not? Why aren't we obedient? He only wants the best for us. He wants to give us an abundant life. Or how about, you know, in your service, in your giving, in your prayer life, in your reading time, in your devotion. All of this is how we worship the Lord. And that's what comes from a heart that loves Him. You know, I wonder if we had a recording of your New Year's resolutions over the year and my New Year's resolutions that I've made in the past. I wonder how many of them would sound like broken records. Right? I thought about looking up, and I looked up the top 10 New Year's resolutions. I'm only going to give you 7. I thought the other ones were kind of dumb. But I bet you know what the number one is. Don't answer. Here we go. Number 7. Start my own business. Okay. Get a hobby. Okay. More family time was number 5. Spend more time. Number 4. Spend more time on what I want. Get organized. Number 2, get out of debt. And number 1, lose weight. You know, I just recently joined the gym because I want to lose $30 a month. That's about all. Oh, it's always working. So are you living a life? Or are you living? One person said about this, about years wasted. He said, failure is an opportunity to begin again more intelligently. Can I reword it? Can I reword it properly? Here's what it should say. Failure is the opportunity to begin again more spiritually. Now, when I say spiritually, I'm not talking about hocus pocus. I'm talking about focus on Christ. Put all of your focus on Him, that kind of spirituality. So as we begin to head into 2019, let's seek to love the Lord. Let's seek not a resolution, but a commitment. This is, commitment is a greater thing than a resolution. A commitment means you're going to follow through. One person said this, though no one can go back and make a brand new start, anyone can start from now and make a brand new ending. I'm like, yeah? What's your ending looking like right now? You know, I ask people, well, where would you go if you were to die today? A casket? Urn? No, I mean your spirit, because all of our spirits are eternal. It's just a matter of where you're going to spend that eternity. In heaven or the other place. So New Year's comes. For so many people, you know what happens? The only thing that changes are the numbers. They go from 18 to 19. For me, we'll probably be about 6 or 7 months in before I actually change numbers. I'll still use 2018 for about 7 months. And when you guys are ready to go to 2020, I'll be ready for 2019. But for some people, that's all that changes. Why is that? I say that because Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, being confident of this, being confident of what? That He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. When is the day of Christ? That's yet future. So you know what that tells me? That we are all Christians under construction. Or perhaps you haven't even begun to break ground. Today's a great day to soften your heart and let the Word of God be planted to begin a foundation with Christ. And let Him begin a good work and complete a good work until the day He returns. You and I should be constantly changing. Until when? Until He returns. Has He returned? Then we need to be constantly changing because none of us have arrived. So this new year should not just be a new number. It should be a new you, a better you. That's not, you know, never mind, I'm going to stop there. A better you, and meaning more Christ and less Randy. That's not you, me. You, whatever your name is. But here's what happens. Life without purpose stinks. It does. When you don't have a purpose, it feels horrible. You know, that when you're a teenager, what's my purpose in life? Then you become an adult and you're like, is this my purpose in life? And then you get older and you're like, did I fulfill my purpose? Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says this, and I'm going to read from the King James Version. Thou art worthy, I like the King James on this particular verse. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Do you realize, folks, you and I and we are created for his good pleasure? Amen. That is why when these rich and famous people get all this money for themselves and this fame, they're not satisfied. That's not what they were created for. But the devil wants to steal God's purpose and destroy God's purpose and kill God's purpose in their life. And he wants to do that in your life. You're like, I'm not rich and famous. Yeah, well then, why are you ignoring God? You got nothing to lose. But even if you had the world to lose, the world is dying. As long as we're holding on to a dying world, we're dying with it. But as long as we're holding on to a living Christ, then we're living life the way it was meant to be, with the purpose. And what was that purpose? Well, let me give you one concept. In Mark chapter 1, verse 17, in Mark 1, 17, Jesus comes to his disciples. And what were the disciples doing? They were fishing. Why? Because that's what they needed. They were making a livelihood. They were clocking, you know, punching the clock. They had not only a hobby, but they had their own business. They were in business for themselves. They were working hard, so they were losing weight. They were fulfilling all their New Year's resolutions. And Jesus came to them and said, come after me. Follow me. Come with me, and I will make you fishers of men. You're fishing for fish? I'll make you a fisher of men. And I wonder if Peter said, we're going to need a bigger boat. People are a lot bigger than the fish. No, listen. God has a purpose in your life if you will follow him. I had no idea that I would be a pastor. I had no idea. But he said, follow me. And I said, yes, sir. He said, I'll make you a fisher of men. Okay. I don't know how to do that. He said, don't worry, I'll show you. And that's why y'all are here. There's nothing in this world, I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, there is nothing in this world I would rather do than to study God's word, to counsel, to teach his word and share and perhaps lead people to Christ. Why? Because see, if I fulfill the call of God, then I become a fisher of men. I become alive by giving life. And there, that is a life more abundantly. You see how that works? You know, I was watching a movie with my wife last night about some Russians and under Stalin, and they get saved and they were being tortured. And one of the guys said, look, it's not important that we get people saved. He says, but we have to get each one to reach one. And I was like, that is so good. See, that's the purpose of your life. The purpose of your life is first to come and know the Lord who loves you, saved you, created you, and wants to give you real life and real fulfillment and real meaning. And then to have it more abundantly by sharing it with others, and it becomes an abundance of life. So listen. Talking about real life is easy. Comprehending the concept of what real life is easy. I don't think any of you are confused. The solution is easy. It's Christ. We know that. It's straightforward concept. It's a straightforward concept, easy for anyone to understand. I could teach this lesson in the junior high or the elementary, and they would get it. They would understand that Christ is the way to be fulfilled. Yet, for most people, it is so difficult to obtain. Why? Why is it so difficult? Because so many of us are world-minded and not God-minded. We're tangible-minded. We're self-pleasing minded instead of God-pleasing minded. We're like all those celebrities. We want the fame and the riches. We think the limo and the pool, that those things are going to fulfill us. And all these wealthy people are just proven fact that it's empty once you get there. They're all miserable. Go look it up. I dare you. Just start looking up for depressed celebrities. The list is incredible. Incredible. And it seems like the more famous they are, the more depressed they are, the more distraught and disconnected. Now walk into a church of people alive with God and look at some of the most fulfilled and happy people you've ever met. I have nothing. I have the Lord Jesus Christ. I have family members who I share the Lord Jesus Christ with and respond and are loving God and we're loving each other. Man, life doesn't get any better. God loves you. He loves you. But you and I have the opportunity to either get close to Him or to distance ourselves from Him. We get to choose. The distance is, here's the difference. How much we love a dying world or how much we love a living God, it's up to you. Do you have life or are you living? 1 Corinthians, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 says this. Here's what it says. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Paul starts with, hey, do you not know? Really what he's saying there is, you know this. Come on. This is basic. Everyone who runs in a race, are they just wasting time or are they trying to win the prize? Win the prize. But he says, hey, why aren't you running for the prize? Why are you just strolling? It's a race. Come on, people. That's what he's saying. All run the race. And what do people say? They say life is a race, right? Life's a rat race. The problem is, if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. Someone said this. They said, it's a small world, but we all run in big circles. Yeah, so do rats, a little hamster wheel, right? And this race of life, our biggest adversary, do you know what our biggest adversary is? Time. We all feel like, gosh, got to go, got to do this, got to do that, got to get it. We're like, oh, limited time, we got so much time. And God's going, really, I gave it all to you. Why are you fretting? Why? Oh, Lord, sorry, I don't have time for you. Oh, and time came from who? Who gave it to you? Most people, here you go, watch this. Most people, even Christians, have a bumper sticker on their heart. What bumper sticker? Here's the bumper sticker. You know this one. He who dies with the most toys win. Most people have that sticker on their heart. May not have it on your car, but you have it in your heart. Listen, it's the prize. It's these toys that these toys. And you go, toys? Yeah, you know, jet ski, you know, PlayStation, shoes, whatever it is. Those are the distraction. That's not the prize, folks. See, he who has the most toys win, that's not the prize. Jesus Christ is the prize. Why don't we start this new year with a commitment to take our eyes off the toys and put them on the joys of the Lord? Amen. Wouldn't that be a good idea? Some of us, we find ourselves trapped. You ever feel that way? Year after year, running around in those big circles. And here you go, running around the same sins year after year. It's the same sin that haunts you. You ever have one of those dreams? Monsters after you. And you try to run, but no matter how fast your feet are going, you're just not getting any traction. You ever have one of those, you know, Fred Flintstone moments? Yabba dabba doo, doo 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 doo. That's okay when it's a dream. But you ever have one of those days where it feels like you can't get past whatever trouble is before you? You ever have one of those weeks, one of those months? Even worse, you ever have one of those years where you just feel you couldn't get any traction as you're trying to run from sins, from troubles, from disasters? Instead of running from the trouble or disaster, how about running to Christ? You know why? It's one step and you're there. It's not multiple steps. He's not far away. He meets you right there. That's the problem. We're always running, trying to run in the wrong direction. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3 for me. I want you to really chew on this, and as we begin to try and wrap our thoughts up into one bundle here. Ephesians chapter 3. Now, I want you to know, I could read the whole chapter 3 because it's so powerful and beautiful. I could read all of Ephesians. All of Ephesians is about the wonderful blessings and the richness. In fact, Warren Wiersbe's book on Ephesians, if you've never, it's a study on the book. It's called Be Rich. Because that's what Ephesians is. It's rich with their blessings. But I'm just going to focus, due to time, on verse 14 through 21 of chapter 3. He says this. So he spent a couple of chapters just talking about the richness of Christ and all the blessings we have and the salvation we have. And then he says this, verse 14. For this reason, because of all that, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now, whoa, 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 hold on a second. Some of us are caught up in the meager riches that surround us, and I don't think anyone here travels in extravagantly rich circles. But some of us may have more than others, and some of us have a little, but even that has consumed us. And yet here he's saying that God would grant you, me, us, we, according to the riches of his glory. God wants to give you the riches of his glory. If you took all the riches in the world of every nation, every rich person, every house, every limo, every Lamborghini, every Ferrari, and piled them all in one big pile on this side, and you took one half of a percent of the riches of God's glory and put it on another side, it still outweighs all the riches by a mile. And we go, I don't want it today. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. And you go, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded. I picture this. One of those big old oak trees that's just rooted. You know, a thief can't come up and say, you know what, I'm going to steal that oak tree. It's not going to be an easy task, if at all possible. See, we're to be rooted and grounded in Christ so that no matter what Satan tries to do, he can't budge you. He can't steal you. He can't steal your joy or your heart. So he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, that we would understand with all the saints, here you go, the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Does this sound depressing to you? No, this is glorious, and God wants you and I to have this. Instead of the things that pass away. You know, if you were to go out and buy something right now, you're going to outlive that thing by a mile. And yet, you feel like your life would be happier with this or that thing. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I have things, but they don't have me. Okay? I have time? Yeah, I do. Okay. My wife and I, marriage was very young. I had a new car. And she goes, hey, I'm going to use your car. I'm going to go get some pizza. And I was like, all right, go ahead. Yeah. They were in the parking lot. And her daughter, she goes, here, why don't you learn to drive? Randy's new car. She calls me. She's crying. And now we're newly married. She's getting to know me, getting to know all of them. So she's thinking, I'm going to go ballistic. And I said, hon, you guys all right? Yeah, about your car. I said, I don't care. It's a car. And my wife will tell you, I really don't worry about material things. Zero, zilch. Now, why? I don't care. I really don't care. I got Christ. I'm going to heaven. If I die tomorrow, I'm going to heaven. Whatever I got here on earth, I'll leave it to someone else. You can have it. It's yours. Enjoy. But don't hold on to it. Hold on to Him. He says, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do, listen to this, exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. I could ask for quite a bit. But you know what He does? He gives me things I wouldn't have thought to ask for, that once I have them, I go, wow. I would have never thought that I could be a pastor of such an awesome church. I didn't ask for it, but He gave it to me. He says this, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, there's power working in us, to Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, here's a question. Are you alive? Are you living? Do you have that power? Do you have that promise? Do you have that hope and future? Do you realize that no matter what you're going through, God is trying to strengthen you and make you a Lambo too? That's His purpose for you. To make you a fisher of men. To give you a life and a life more abundant. To give you exceedingly abundantly more than you could ask or think. And you know what we settle for? The meager things of this world that don't amount to too much. Listen, I'm not saying don't have the things in this world. I'm just saying, don't let those be your focus. Let Him be your focus, and He'll take care of all your needs. Let Him be your focus. He'll determine what you need in your life and what you don't need. We're too busy going, I want, and going, God, I'll get to you in a minute, but I want. And God's going, really? Find and have and watch the heartache that comes with it when it's not according to His will. Here you go. Someone said this, and I want you to hold this in your heart. A glimpse of God will save you. To gaze at Him will sanctify you. Listen, I'm inviting you this morning. We're going to start a new year. Don't make a resolution. How about you make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ to make this next year, 2019, just about you and Him, and watch when you come to the end, when we come to year 2020, how your vision will be 2020 of Him. How it improve your vision, your scope, your hope. Or you can turn the page and turn the page and get to the end and go, wow, 2019 was like 2018, just with different problems. Oh, then you're alive, but you ain't living. How about we make a decision? If you've never accepted Christ, can I invite you this morning to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ? You will not regret it. You'll only wish you had done it sooner. It's so freeing. It's so awesome. It's so wonderful. And my desire this morning is that every person would walk out of here to live and not just to be alive. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you for speaking to us this morning. Thank you for bringing our attention to all that you've done last year, and maybe the fact that you would have done more had we surrendered more of ourselves to you. Father, may we recognize, Lord, that you sent your Son Jesus to be an example for us, that the worldly things do not bring fulfillment, but total submission to the Father is what brings fulfillment. And Lord, I don't know if anyone here this morning has never accepted the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, if you're moving upon someone's heart, I don't know, you know. But I know this, more than likely there's probably a couple of people who've never surrendered their heart. And if that's you, and you feel the weight of your sin, and you feel that you're bogged down, and you feel like you have no hope, can I suggest that right now, this morning, you make a commitment to surrender your life to Jesus Christ once and for all and begin living a rich and full life in Christ? If that's you, would you raise your hand and say, I need Christ this morning. I need to accept Him for the first time. I need that freedom. I need my sins forgiven. I see you way in the back over there. Awesome. Anyone need to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ this morning? Perhaps there is someone here or someone's that you're saved, but you know this last year you have not been living for Christ. You've been caught up in the things of this world and your own desires, and you realize today that you need to be more focused on Christ. If that's you, would you raise your hand and say, I need to focus. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Wow, lots of hands. It takes a lot to be honest. It takes a lot to really reflect on our life and see if we've really been living for Him or living for us. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. I see your hand as well. That's awesome. Anyone else? Father God, I thank you, Lord. We had one gentleman in the back lift his hand and say that he wants you, Lord Jesus, for the first time. And that is beautiful. And then we had, Lord, I don't know, a couple dozen people say they need to make a commitment, not a resolution, but a commitment to you this morning to live 2019 for the glory of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit unto God the Father. And Lord, I pray for each one of them that they would evaluate the things they have put before you, the things that they have made a priority, and recognize that you should come first in everything, and through that comes the inner peace and joy. Joy unspeakable. Not a happiness, but a joy that even will weather the toughest of storms. And so, Father, I pray for each one of them. Bless them, Lord. Help them live for you. Help us all live for you. Help us to surrender. Help us to worship you in our obedience, in our giving, in our service, in our praise, in our prayers. And Lord, we just love you and thank you. And we know, Lord, that you are good. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.